You get a line of your phone, baby. You get a line of your phone, baby. Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. Grizz, I'd have you go sing along with that that little music bumper we had, but I'm not sure that'd be a good idea. Might be a little gravelly. Grizz, thank you.
I can sing almost anything, even opera if you like,
John. I'll bet you could. You know, you can't constantly surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if you could. I just never heard it. But
you never went to my Facebook and look, not on a Facebook, but on YouTube, and just look for The Grizz Goes Wild if you want to hear me sing and play a guitar.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not sure I want to do that.
A lot of people like it. You might be surprised.
All right, I will. I will. But, Grizz, you come on frequently, and I think by now everybody knows that that you live in La Paz, and you've got, three, four, five different television shows. Now it's hard to keep up with you, and plus all your distribution, you're building your own charter fleet down there with a new boat that I saw on your Facebook. What a beautiful, perfect boat. I mean, that's dynamite. It's got, and twin 250 Yamaha or 250 Hondas, 500 horsepower. That thing must fly.
No, I don't have Yamaha. I have Yamaha.
Oh, they are Yamaha? But anyway, 250, yeah. Two of them. That thing must fly.
Yeah, it does. I can get it up to 42.
Wow. Well, you can just sleep in late and still get there before everybody else in that, huh?
Exactly. That's the idea.
Yeah.
You know, get out there and get the bait and take your time. And, you know, John, not so much beating everybody. I generally go where there's not a lot of people anyway.
Yeah.
But why I like really fast boats is, you know, down here you got these storms coming in, these swells.
Oh.
And I like to get home without getting wet.
Oh, so if there's something coming, something chasing you, you just say, we're out of here.
Yeah, exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Grizz, we talk a lot, and you've given us a lot of information, but today, for the next few minutes, what I'd like to talk about is, we're talking about your boat. Let's talk about setting up a boat, what equipment that you need, what gear you need, and what you use it for and how to use it. Can you do all that in about 2 minutes?
2 minutes, no, but I can do it as fast as I can.
All right, no, I'll give you more than two.
I try to go out in a big ocean boat. I try to have 250 wide reels. Those I like to have on each corner, and with big poppers for trolling on those. And then I like 30s or 40s for the outriggers on, and then I like a 40 also up top for shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually trolling five rods at the same time. My rods I like are 5.5 feet. I do not like 6 foot rods. They're heavy and you can't fight a fish correctly. Well, there's been a big confusion over the years about that.
Well, the shorter
and,
the rod.
I try to keep my rods down. I've even got a 4.5 foot rod, tuna rod I use.
Well, the advantage of a shorter rod, if people are wondering, is the fulcrum, where if you're holding it at one end and the fish is pulling at the other, the closer you are to the line that you're holding onto, you know, the less, the more power you have.
Well, you've got power, especially on tuna, because, you know, they're a diving fish anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you need that. And then another thing, a long rod bows. And so you're actually fighting the bow. And not the fish. So, I mean, if you got a straight rod and it's 5.5 foot, I mean, you can do some horse and you can, when they make that jump, you can, reel faster and you can get it in probably, I would say, 35% faster with a shorter rod than a longer rod.
Grizz, let's talk us for a minute, because there's some people listening that are probably going to go down there and fish with you. And when they got a fish on, it's not the time to be giving them instructions on what to do. They'd have to get a pretty good idea before they sit in the chair. So let's give them an idea about how to allow the equipment that you're using, the gear that you're using, help you. Now, obviously the idea that you mentioned was the shorter rod, and I myself, you get a big fish on, so what you want to do, it's running, so you want to pull back on the rod to put pressure on the fish, but you're not. All you're doing is putting a bend in the rod, that's causing, you know, that's difficult to do. So, you know, you want to get a short rod, or else you point the rod at the fish. But give us some tips on when they sit in the chair, some of the things they have to remember if they're on a marlin or a good sized tuna.
Well, first of all, John, don't sit in the chair.
Okay.
I mean, the chair, let's stand up and fight a fish. Let's put 2 feet apart.
Yeah.
And use, if you have to use something, use a fighting belt. And, you know, feel that fish on there. Feel that butt against you and become part of the rod. If you're going to fight fish over 400 pounds, yeah, sit down. But if you're not going to fight him, it's a 200-pound fish. Stand up there, fight it, spread your legs apart, put that butt right into your fighting belt, and hold high up on the forearm of your rod, and then reel with the other. But a lot of it has to do, when you got your hands on a rod, you don't want it next to the reel. You want it up as far as the grip goes, and that gives you the leverage you need to fight a fish. But you get a marlin on, a 30-pound marlin, for Christ's sakes, don't sit in the chair. That's ridiculous.
Well, the other thing is when you're standing up, it gives you the mobility as the fish is running around.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you can go from one side of the boat to the other, because as soon as you hook up, everybody's going to bring the other reels in, all the rods and the other lures in, to give you a free back of the boat.
Okay.
So you can go from one gunwale to the other. But don't sit down. When you're sitting down, you can't even see the fish when it gets beside the boat.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, Grizz, I've noticed people do is they'll reel when the fish is running.
Well, that's because they don't know any better.
Well, that's why we're bringing it up.
It's an instinct, right, you know, when that fish is running and line's going out, they'll keep on reeling because of the excitement.
Yeah. And lift the rod up.
You look at your reel. If your reel's going out, you're not going to be reeling it back in.
Right.
You know, you have to wait till it stops, and then you bow to the fish, raise your rod up, then reel as you bow to the fish, and raise it, and then reel again as you bow to the fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to gain. But reeling to a line that's going out, all you're going to do is get tired and just hear zzz, 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 zzz.
Yeah. Well, that's an exciting sound, but the point is, when the fish is running, just let the gear do the work. Point the rod at the fish, let the drag do its job, and sometimes that thing will run for 50 yards, 100 yards, and you get scared to think it's going to spool you. It won't. The boat to the captain.
Well, that's what you got the captain.
Right.
You know, there's been many times I've caught fish over 600 pounds, and I get scared because I see it getting lower and lower and lower. But that's when you start hollering at the captain. And a good captain will always be watching that rod or that reel. When he sees it, he's going to start chasing that fish.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry too much about getting spooled.
Okay. Well, Grizz, we're going to come back in a segment later on and give some more tips about doing some big game fishing, because this is fun stuff, and this is the time of year to be practicing it and know what you're doing. So when you get down to Cabo or La Paz, you'll have a clue what to do without beating yourself up.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Because you do more damage to yourself than the fish does.
Well, and again, it really is a matter of allowing your gear. Because if you're on a big fish and you've got it holding onto that reel in a death grip for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, it'll take a long time to recover from that, and that's not really what you're looking
for. Yeah, it hurts. Believe me, I've done it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've done it too.
6 hours is the longest time I've been on a fight.
Yeah, well, I've done it too, and you know that's why you make fun of me. But when a big fish comes on, I go, "Here, Grizz, you take it."
Yeah, well, I pass it to Charlie.
There you go. Yeah, well, Charlie's not a kid anymore. But anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to come back. We're going to talk to Simon from ControlMe.com, and we're going to learn about remote-controlled drones, aircraft, that can go out and spot the fish for you. And we'll talk about that and see if it sounds like a good idea. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Please visit us on Facebook, and also you can listen to the show anytime you want to on Cork and Fork on fishtalkradio.com. Grizz, we'll be right back. Eat, sleep, drink, go.
Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-382-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass, and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep-sea adventure by calling 805-382-1612.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world-famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
You get in line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get in line and I'll get a pole, babe.
Okay, Grizz, you want to sing that one?
I can't hear anything of music.
Oh, okay. Well, that was the bumper music coming on. Anyway, you get a line. Anyway, let's get back into to Fish Talk Radio. Grizz, we have Jordan on the line with us from a company that is called Control Me. Actually, it's CTRL.ME. And that's it. Control Me.
That's what happens
to my wife. She controls me.
we like to stay in control over here.
There you go. But
Well, I don't like that name.
No, Grizz.
It reminds me of my wife.
Grizz, nobody can control you, Grizz. Forget that.
It stands for
Yeah, I know that.
But I'm sorry, Jordan. Go ahead and say that again.
I said it stands for Control Me Robotics.
Okay.
So essentially, we are controlling the robots.
Right. Well, you know what? I really appreciate the time you spent. I went down to visit with you yesterday to get a real idea because we've talked about it. I've got some ideas about it. But until you get down there, hold it in your hand, and watch it in action, that's really the only way to do it. So why don't you start off by giving us an idea about your company itself, what you guys are doing in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me, Grizz. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, same here, buddy.
What we do is we essentially build multi-rotors and unmanned vehicles. They're remote-controlled devices, whether they be flying in the sky or driving on the ground. Our main focus recently has been the aerial perspective of the drones, essentially, is what they're being called, dubbed as. They do have other names such as quadcopters, hexcopters, and multirotors, and you can outfit them with camera equipment that you know, what's great is you can do live video feed back to yourself on the ground. So you can take one of these multi-rotors and fly it up in the air for, you know, hundreds of feet and send live video feed back to the ground, or in this case, maybe onto a boat. We've been in business over a year now, and we've been able to not only build these, design them, create them, and essentially make them better and make them more targeted toward certain audiences. So we make custom multi-rotors to fit certain applications.
Well, I think that's what it is. Now, we're not going to ask you for specific prices, but we do need to have ranges. So if anybody's out there listening to us, they get an idea, you know, what it's going to cost for what they want, or at least a range. Now, I know that there are these multi-rotor remote-controlled aircraft that you can buy for under $200. And if you wanted to, you could outfit a GoPro on it. But they're really toys. And, of course, if you put a camera on it, you know, it's going to, whatever direction you have it pointed, that's what you're going to get in your viewing. And with the movement and such, you may not get what you want. So why don't you give us an idea about, you know, what you guys are doing, because you don't make toys.
No, we certainly don't. I mean, we are big kids, and these are our toys now. But we want to target whatever the customer's needs are, whatever you're trying to accomplish with them. Anything from, we can attach an arm that is, they'll come down and pick something up, or what's primarily being used for is attaching cameras. There are smaller ones that you can have little cameras on, and those are great for flying inside and just horsing around, but they don't really serve much of a purpose. Whereas we make them larger, and be able to carry a payload, so therefore being able to carry and fly around with a GoPro or larger camera. But in addition to that, being able to send that live video feed back to the ground over longer distances. Right now, we've been able to go in excess of a mile from our starting point without losing any type of video reception or transmission. So essentially, I could be on a boat or at my house. I have my own screen that I'm watching live video feed from the aircraft, and as I fly it, it's as though I'm sitting in the cockpit. with that said, I can fly this thing in excess of a mile, and out in ocean or out in large open areas, that range is just going to be amplified, because there's not going to be anything to block.
Right. Well, you're thinking of remote controlled, like the, you know, the hobby planes, and you can see the plane and you control it. But these things, you know, they're small, they're very difficult to see, and from, you know, not only a mile away, but probably from just a few hundred feet away, they're kind of hard to see. So how do you control it?
They're very unobtrusive. They're not very loud. They're not very big, in the sense that a lot of them can fold up for easy travel. But, you know, you're talking, the ones that we showed you yesterday are about a foot and a half wide and, maybe 10 inches tall. And that's outfitted with four propellers, you know, one on each arm. So that's a quadcopter, so it's got four arms. And that's capable of carrying similar equipment that you can get close to that mile. So it's not like a fixed-wing airplane or necessarily a helicopter. So these do have multiple rotors, multiple blades, and the designation of if it's got four, it's a quad, six,
right,
is a hex.
Well, the idea of you know, how do you control it if it's out of the line of sight? So what does it have on it that gives you the ability to, you know, to put it where you want to put it and bring it back?
Well, the great thing is you're looking at live video feed of it. So if you're actually on the ground trying to look up in the sky and see where it's at, you're going to have a harder time at farther distance. Whereas with this, we bring the video, the live video, essentially as if you were sitting in the cockpit of it, right in front of you. So you can actually, you know, use your orientation and fly it as though you're flying it in a simulator or in real life. But you're staying on the ground. These do all have GPS, so they have autopilot systems where if you lose orientation or control, all you have to do is let off of the sticks and it'll sit there and hover, and that'll allow you to regain your composure and figure out where you're heading to get you back. They also have other fail-safe mechanisms that if you go out of range, it again will come back and land right where it took off from. So it's they're pretty smart, sophisticated, in the sense that they know where they are, mm-hmm. Thanks to GPS coordinates.
Well, when the one that you did yesterday was mounted, and you have a gimbal that would always keep the camera, point. Not only would it keep the camera pointed, but you could control the camera to look in any direction that you wanted to see. That was amazing.
Yeah. So essentially, if you imagine standing at the top of the building and leaning down and looking over, you're tilting your view of what you're seeing down and up. And you have that ability with this. And it's thanks to a series of little motors that the camera is mounted to. So you're able to control if you want to look down or up. And you also have control with the ship to turn left and right, so you can look left to right. Mm-hmm. And in addition with that, it also keeps the video very smooth, very stable. So no matter what angle the ship is going, whether you're doing like a hard bank or just the tilt is going on, it doesn't affect the camera view. Mm-hmm. So the camera view will remain level,
right,
and stable. So you get those really crisp, clear shots.
Well, what Grizz and I are looking at is being able to launch this craft from a boat to send it out to do some spotting or scouting for you. Grizz, would you like to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I've been listening to it. I've been studying these drones now for several months, trying to figure out what's the best for me. I'm not so interested, as John says, going out and scouting an area for fish. I'm more interested in making television. I have my television shows, and when I'm on the water, I think it would be absolutely fantastic to be fighting a big marlin and having a drone over the top of the marlin so you're actually seeing him jump out of the water.
Absolutely.
Or I have a lot of whale sightings. I'd be out there and I may get some big humpbacks or some blues or some grays. And instead of trying over there and getting my cameraman on top of them or sending my diver out, I could send a drone over the top of them, the same as sea lions or even feeding frenzies when you've got the birds going crazy and the dolphins all going crazy, to actually send the drone over. For that reason, not so much scouting, although it would be a good idea for scouting. If you see something going on, send it over, see what's up there. If it's tuna jumping out of the water, head to it or something like that. But I'm very worried about it dropping into the sea. That's what concerns me. The boat's going to be moving at all times. Like you said, if it gets out of range, it's got to come back home. But mm-hmm. if you move right. 5 feet because of
Grizz,
the current,
okay, Grizz, we're gonna have to get about 30 seconds. So let's just get Jordan a quick response on that. Jordan, for about 30 seconds.
Okay, they can be used for taking the videos of your big catches, going out and capturing the humpbacks and so forth. That's fine. They're very well equipped to do so. And they're also well-equipped to go and right. scout and look
to bring them back. Just real quickly to answer the question, you're on the water. How do you get it back to the boat, and is it waterproof or can it be set up? Because, we're about out of time right now. Maybe we're going to have to bring you back on a little bit, but I guess the quick answer is you can do whatever anybody wants to do. It's just a matter of how much it costs, right?
Absolutely. Okay. And you can make them waterproof, and the pricing ranges from...
Well, in the meantime, we're going to go to ctrl.me is all you got to do. And Jordan, we appreciate you coming on, and we'll be talking to you again real soon, and I want one of those.
We're going to get you set up.
There you go. Grizz, stay tuned. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Fish everywhere.
The Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-382-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass, and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep sea adventure by calling 805-382-1612.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming, laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Sandos is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Are you ready for a whale-watching adventure? The Santa Barbara Channel is known as one of the best whale-watching areas in the world. Over 27 species of whales, dolphins, and porpoises come here throughout the year. And there's no better way to spend time with these wonderful animals than aboard the high-tech Condor Express. Bring a whole family for an unforgettable whale-watching adventure. The Condor Express is Santa Barbara's premier charter boat for whale-watching, island excursions, sunset cruises, and private charters. Call Sea Landing at 882-0088 to book your trip. We'll see you on the Condor Express.
I went on down to my favorite fishing hole, around I got myself a pole in line.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio, and we have from all over the world, we have the Grizz, a.k.a. Mike Ritt, sometimes with his, I don't know how many television shows he's got now, but you can always find Grizz at Adventures South of the Border or ASOBOnline.com. And Facebook, just type in Mike Gritz, and you know he's got. You can find him on multiple television shows, mostly in Mexico. But you know he's a he is a good friend, and he's very knowledgeable. So, but what we're going to do right now is we're going to go to Luis, which is a little bit north of us, up in I guess the northern part of California, which is part of the Cal Parks organization. And she is going to give us an idea of why we need to come and see her. Luis.
Hi. This is, if you like to fish, this is a great lake to come to.
Okay. What is the lake?
It's Lewiston Lake.
Okay.
And we're actually below Trinity Lake and above the Trinity River.
Beautiful area.
Yeah, it's gorgeous up here. And the great thing about Lewiston Lake right now is that we're full.
The lake is full. I mean, the water
level.
The lake
is full, wow. Yes. This is one of the few lakes that our water level never changes.
Wow.
And the water temperature is about 41 degrees.
Woo! Right now?
Yeah. Wow. It's a great habitat for trout.
Oh, yeah.
Not so great for people.
Oh, well, yeah, trout like cold water. And, of course, Grizz is the adventurer that he is in La Paz. But he, in his youth, he spent some time fishing for trout up in the cooler climates. Right, Grizz?
Yeah, I spent most part of my life in Montana.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful.
British Columbia, Alaska, all of that country.
Now, Luis, what is the elevation if it's that cold?
We're about 2,500 feet here.
Okay, so that's not bad, yeah.
Yeah, we pull our water from the bottom of the Trinity Dam.
Oh,
and then the water from the lake is diverted to the Trinity River and then the Sacramento River.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, trout like cold water. That's awesome. So you probably don't have, you know, too much bass in the warmer water fish. So if you really catch trout, it sounds like that's where you want to go.
It's true.
Okay. And give us an idea what kind of trout you'd find in that lake.
You know, the majority of trout that we have are rainbows, but you can find kokanee and browns as well. And the nice thing about Lewiston Lake is that we have a cage culture project here. So we introduce trophy-sized trout every July. And this year I'll be releasing about 1,000 between 3 and 5 pounders.
Wow. And is that just for fun? Do you have you have derbies or contests, or you can just go up there and go after them?
We do. We have a fishing derby this year. It's July 26th,
mm-hmm.
and all the proceeds from the derby go back into the project. And it's just it's a load of fun. You know, you come out here and you're fly fishing, and you know you catch a 5 pound trout on your little fly. It's a hoot.
Wow. And do you get out there once in a while?
About 3 times a week.
Okay. Perfect. Sounds like you're living the life.
It's pretty sweet up here.
That's awesome. And if someone wants to, you know, maybe go to that part of the earth, they've got their, I guess they don't have minivans anymore. You got your SUVs and travel trailers and such, if they want to, maybe even a motorhome and go up in that direction. How difficult is it to get to where you are?
It's not difficult. We are a little bit out of the way, so I like to say that we're a crowd-free zone. It's never terribly busy up here, so you can. I'm looking at the lake right now, and there's not a single boat in sight.
Oh, wow.
So for, you know, the end of June, that's pretty sweet.
Grizz, it's been a while since you've done that, isn't it?
A long time.
Well, maybe we'll have to get you up here. I think we need to go up and visit with Louise.
Oh, yeah.
And now if someone shows up there, what kind of facilities do you have, and can they get boats?
Yes. The lake itself is 8 miles long. You know, there's 15 miles of fishable shoreline. So you can fish just from the shore, but we have patio boats and aluminum boats and canoes and kayaks.
Mm-hmm. And what about facilities other than the that? Is there camping or cabins or anything available up there?
Oh, sure. I have a small RV park right mm-hmm. across from the lake, and I have one rental cabin over there, and then, you know, full hookups.
That's what you'd put me in, isn't it?
Of course.
There you go.
Because I'm not sleeping on the ground.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really?
Let me tell you something, girl. I've worked my way up in my life not to sleep on the ground.
Oh, deserve,
if I don't have a bed, I don't go anymore. And that's what I tell all the people that want us to make television shows with them. If I don't have a bed, I ain't going.
Hey, well, we have full accommodations.
There you go.
Then.
There you go. Well, you know what, Luis? The rumors I heard were true. You're delightful. And, you know, it sounds like that you're just another reason to get up there. But now, if anybody...
Got a beautiful voice, that's for sure.
Well...
Okay.
All right. Grizz, leave her alone.
Well, she does. She Grizz, got a beautiful voice.
Grizz, leave her alone, okay?
She does, John. I'm
She's shy, and this is her first time on the radio.
Well,
so, okay.
I'm shy too, John, okay. But she's still got a beautiful voice.
Yes. It sparkles. Anyway... you're part of the Cal Parks organization, and you know, I guess a simple way to do it would be, you know, instead of you can go to a website or just Google, and what would that be? Just go to Pine Cove Lake, California?
Actually, no, it's pine-cove-marina.com is my actual web page, and then you can find me on Facebook under Pine Cove Marina.
Oh, really? So we can see your face on there?
I think so. Oh, actually, yes, because I just went out with my friend Kit, and I put my own picture up there.
There you go. Okay,
hey,
Grizz.
Hey, well, come to my Facebook,
there you go, Grizz.
Too. Go to Mike Ritz, M-I-K-E-R-I-T-Z,
okay.
And let's be friends.
There you go. Why don't
we'll
be friends? Okay. Thanks, Louise. And then, of course, if you got something to write this down, which you probably don't, but remember, you can always go back to fishtalkradio.com and re-listen and pick up information you lost. The phone number that I have is 530-778-3770. So that's 530-778-3770. You did a great job. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, guys. I look forward to seeing you soon.
There you go.
Don't
you,
well,
Grizz, it was great.
Grizz wants you to come down to Baja.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, come on down to Cabo or La Paz or wherever you want to go. I'm everywhere.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh,
all right, dear.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All righty.
Bye.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Grizz, shame on you.
Well,
anyway,
she has a beautiful voice.
I know. Well, we're going to, have you gone to Facebook yet? I want to see what she looks like.
No, I haven't gone there. I didn't even hear what she said I was supposed to go to.
Go to her Facebook.
What's her Facebook name?
I don't know. But
see, you didn't hear it either.
Well, just go to Pine Cove Lake. I don't know. I'll get it for you. Anyway, Grizz,
right,
let's get back. We were in fishing at 42-degree water for trout. Let's get back down to Baja. You were talking to us about methods of going after big game fishing. And I can't think of anybody that's caught more big game fish than you have. Of course, you're usually the one with the microphone and you hand the rod off, but that's a different story. At least you're on the boat. But
well, normally, John, you know, most people don't know how to make that hookup.
Yeah.
And so Charles and I do all the hookups.
Well, Grizz, let's go back to it again. We talked about putting five lines out. Now, the reason for five lines, is that like a school of fish coming through the water, or do you want to put something different?
Well, I like to think of a spread as almost a feeding frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
I like my perfect spread on a boat is on the outriggers. I like to have ballyhoo on both outriggers. Then on each corner, I like to have big skirted lures, the popping skirted lures. And then in the middle rod, which is called a shotgun, it is back, you know, your first, let's go a little bit easier on this. Your corner rods should be behind your boat the second and a half wave from the boat.
Okay. Swell wave. Yeah,
your
okay.
Outrigger rods should be 4.5 wave back.
Okay.
Your shotgun should be right down the center and should be 7 to 8 waves back.
Okay. And that's usually the one that's from the fly bridge where the captain
mans
that way.
That's why it's called the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
It gets its name, John, if you remember, because I know you're really old, you should remember.
From the stagecoach, you mean?
Yeah, when the stagecoaches came down.
Yeah.
They had the guy that was watching the driver.
Yeah.
And he had a shotgun.
Right.
And he was called the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? And when you were kids and going into school, how many of them said, shotgun, shotgun?
You want to be in the passenger seat.
Meaning you
want to
ride
seat,
in the passenger seat.
Right. Okay.
That's how that rod gets its name,
right,
the shotgun
so
rod.
Now that you've got five lines out, and we've only got about a minute, you got five lines out. And you've got something different on each line. And
no, I have two bally. I have actually three ballyhoo, which are the same.
That would be live or dead or just bait?
No, they would be sewn ballyhoo.
Okay. So you control
them. And then I have my two big plugs on the corner part of the boat that are throwing water and making all, you know, bringing up attention.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, my marlin will come up, look at my big plugs. If they don't take the big plug, they'll go off to the left normally and take the outrigger with the ballyhoo.
Right.
If they miss that, they will come up from behind and come again, and they'll take the shotgun ballyhoo.
Well, and, you know, I got some other questions, but we're running out of time. Do you use a circle hook and not in setting the hook? But you know what we're going to do is we're going to tease people with that because we're going to talk about it again next week if you're available.
I will be in Cancun fishing tarpon next week at this time.
But they don't have telephones there? Anyway, Chris, we got
to... I'm going back in the jungle.
Chris, we got to go.
And fly fishing for tarpon.
Chris, we got to go. Thank you very much. Go to asobonline.com. Go to fishtalkradio.com. You can listen to the whole program and find out a lot more information. We appreciate you tuning in to Fish Talk Radio.